This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Wayne Bennett adds to the list of clubs he screwed, a stinking scandal rocks the world of darts, and Maradona is full of praise for Mexican Soccer League. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, ho, 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 and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and Merry Christmas, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. You can find me on Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who finally raised bail after the Full Credit to the Boys live show riots, and this week his band's new album, Bitches Get Stitches, received an ARIA nomination. Tonight he's wearing one silver glove like his idol, Michael Jackson. Welcome, Sid.
Well, thank you very, very much, former. I have been busy since the live show and raising bail. What a great day that was. Shame we couldn't release that show. I went to edit it and there were more beeps in it than actual content, so thought we'd give that a miss. But yeah, I was very happy about the ARIA nomination.
Plus you weren't sure how an 8-hour podcast would actually go.
We did go a little bit overboard, but by all accounts, everyone had a great day, and then there were riots, and we made the leader.
The famous Penshurst riots.
Penshurst. We put Penshurst on the map. Congratulations, creditors. It was a great day.
We turned over a hot dog van. What else did we do? We smashed up the cheesecake shop.
All I remember was eating all those gutter hot dogs. I didn't know we tipped a van.
I remember just knocking over cheesecake after cheesecake in the cheesecake shop. No, thank you very much for everyone who turned up. It was a great day. Congratulations to all the winners on the day. There was a couple of people who won some horse races.
Yes.
Betting. Milram won creditor of the year and he wasn't there, so he lost it.
Yeah. We gave that to someone else.
What else we do?
A lot of people bought our range of wine.
Oh, yes.
There's a couple of bottles sitting up there on the shelf. The Stats Lab Shiraz and the Bad Punner Pinot.
Overall, the
Cab Malay.
Yeah.
Overall, well, we're bringing that out again.
Great day.
It was a fantastic day.
If you didn't go, well, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And, well,
if you didn't go, stop listening now. This is for the faithful.
Hashtag blocked. Anyway, it's time for this.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm BB Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
We've been going 3 minutes. We've recorded the first bit again twice.
Yes.
And now we've just had an air swing. That's good. Everything's going great.
You just had fat fingers. Normally that's my job.
Now, the headline read from the mamamia.com.au website that you alerted me to. Wear a black dress and I'll surprise you. A woman's story of her worst date ever is going viral.
Interesting.
Buckle up, says Mamma Mia. We think we've found the official worst date ever. Well, I've got something to say about that in a minute.
Mate, they are quality articles. I'm expecting big things from this.
We think we've found the worst date ever. Go back through Sid's history and get back to me. One woman's terrible date experience has gone viral after her friend shared a series of WhatsApp messages which tell the story on Twitter. When my mate asked if she'd told me about her worst date, I didn't anticipate this, says at Trash Panda. The woman, named Gloria Hull, detailed what she thought would be a sweet romantic surprise that turned into a very, very awkward nightmare. Her date had told her to wear a black dress and I'll surprise you, and all was going well until he had a turn of the car into a weird place.
That sounds pretty hot. Wear a black dress. I'll surprise you. I can see where this is going.
I bet you can't. Then I see the sign. Oh, God, the sign, she says, saying crematorium.
Okay, I did not see that coming.
This is just the beginning. Gloria Hull remained optimistic, asked if we were just out of petrol. He goes, nah, I just really needed someone to come to this thing with me. So this thing turned out to be his grandmother's funeral.
No.
So he kept it a surprise. Because he's a good guy. Because he thought if he told her, she wouldn't have come, really? Considering this was a first date, that might be a pretty fair assumption, says Mamma Mia. Now, thinking she had no way out of it, she attended the funeral and her friend, or her new friend, was shook up. Fair to say, said that old mate was hoping his nana wasn't the only stiff by the end of that day. Someone asked her on Twitter, you stayed? To which Gloria Hull said, imagine calling an Uber to a funeral home.
Good point. Still would have done it.
She ended up staying for the entire service, throughout which her date was holding her hand and crying. And she got to meet his mum. He cried and I had to comfort his this total stranger as he said hello to his family. The woman made him take her home before the wake. Jeez, that's where it starts. That's where things pick up for the day. You're an
Absolutely.
Idiot.
Absolutely.
But it turns out the funeral wasn't even the worst part of it. She was just a backup option. She explained that the man's girlfriend had left him a few weeks before the funeral and his family had been looking forward to meeting her, so he looked for someone else to fill the spot. Now, Sid.
Yes.
Your first ever date with Mrs. Sid was to your very first colonoscopy. Is this bloke doing that much wrong?
I told her to wear black and I'll surprise her.
And some surgeon gloves.
She should have made the best of this. She should have gone to the wake. Like you said, that's where the action happens. They have these little sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I make a sandwich, I make fair size Sanger.
You're joking.
But if you counted how many of those little catered triangle bastards I can scoff, it would be like 3.5 loaves of bread. I love them. I can't stop. But this is not the worst date. I went out with this girl once. Cheryl was her name. I hope you're listening, Cheryl. You missed out, baby. I've got a podcast. How do you like them apples? Who's too good for who now? Anyway, we went to the movies, and the only movie that was on, we got it mucked up somehow.
Schindler's List.
Was Casper, the Friendly Ghost. And I thought, oh, well, we won't be watching it anyways, eh? Am I right? Am I right? Yeah, nice dark cinema. No, we watched it, and she laughed the whole way through, and that was the end of Cheryl and Sid. It's a short tale and a sad tale for her.
Is there any message you want to send out to the young players about taking you... Your date to see Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Don't do it.
Any other movies you wouldn't recommend to go into? Indiana Jones and the Temple of Poon?
Well, you're not going to get a wristy at Schindler's List, are you?
Not a guarantee.
F-C-T-T-B.
This comes from the Washington Post, Sid. A little girl named ABCDE was mocked by Southwest Airlines gate agent, and the airline has now apologized.
They shouldn't apologize. The mum should apologize.
A Texas mother is calling out a Southwest Airlines employee who mocked her 5-year-old daughter's name and then posted a picture of the small child's boarding pass on social media. Tracy Redford told ABC affiliate KABC.
Whoa. Is that her sister's name?
Her daughter's name is ABCDE, which is pronounced ABCD. I wouldn't think so, but all right. ABCD. Redford said the incident occurred several weeks ago when she and her daughter were preparing to board a flight from Santa Claus, California. Redford told the station that a gate agent at California's John Wayne Airport saw ABCDE's name and started pointing, laughing, and talking to other employees about Redford and her child. So I turned around and said, "Hey, I can hear you. So if I can hear you, my daughter can too. I'd appreciate if you'd just stop," she told the station.
She's not deaf. She's just stupid.
She added, "While I was sitting there, she took a picture of my boarding pass and chose to post it on social media, mocking my daughter. It was actually brought to my attention by someone who had seen it on Facebook and reported it to Southwest Airlines. And after 2 weeks of doing a formal complaint, Southwest haven't done anything." Redford said she could not be immediately be found for comment Thursday morning by the Washington Post. Now, Southwest Airlines spokesman Safonda Cox apologized, saying that the social media post is not indicative of the care and respect and civility that the airline requires from its employees. "We take great pride in extending our Southwest hospitality to all our customers, which includes living by the golden rule and treating every individual with respect in person or online." Spokesman So Soo Mee said in a statement, "The post is not indicative of the care, respect and civility we expect from employees. We have followed this with our employee involved. While we do not disclose personal actions publicly, we are using this as an employee to reinforce our policies and emphasize our expectations for all of our employees." In fact, So Soo Mee says, "Just in the past week, we've had passengers named Anita Seaman, Dick Weed, Souvenir and Al-Qaeda, and no one has even raised a smile here at Southwest. Sure, we might have taken photos of their boarding passes and put them on Twitter under the hashtag #shithousenames, but no one was seen laughing, and nor should they," said the Southwest media officer, Rusty Bedsprings. Now, although ABCDE is an unusual name, it's not unheard of, Sid. In 2014, Vocative.com reported that over the past three decades, 328 babies have been given that name, 32 of whom were born in 2009. But when the name is entered into the Social Security Administration's database set of baby names, it states that ABCDE is not in the top 1,000 names for any year of birth beginning with 2000. Nicknames include CC, CD, AB, Zizzy, AB, and CD, according to nicknamewizard.com, are all generated from ABCDE, the original name. Now, fascinating story, Sid.
Yeah.
The reason I put this here is just reminded me to ask you, how's your niece, LMNOP, going?
Well, they also pronounce ABCDE Abcity, which is what they call me at Fernwood Gym. Abcity.
Here she is. Ugly and trying hard.
But seriously, how hard is it to give kids a name that they won't be teased at school? If I have a boy, I'll call him after my dad and call him Dudley. It's a strong name, Dud Punts. If I have a girl, I like Tia Maria, tequila, bourbon, always they'll probably be conceived. Well, how's this for another boy's name I'm thinking about? It's like a rapper's name, The Missionary.
I would have thought if you had
don't say Lana.
If you had a girl, you'd be looking more along the lines of Lexus or Porsche, Mercedes.
Lavender Starlet.
FCTTV. This comes from news.com.au. Police investigate sex romp filmed at drift race after party, Sid.
Yeah.
Police are investigating an incident of public group sex between one woman and five men at an after party for a car racing drift event, which was allegedly filmed by multiple people. After a two-day racing event in Taupo in New Zealand, hundreds of people took to a second location for a paddock party. Six individuals began engaging in sexual activity, according to reports. And they were filmed by others. Local authorities conducting investigation into an allegation of sexual nature with a number of alleged offenders.
They were all willing participants.
Well, so they say.
Yeah.
One bloke wasn't, apparently. The event, the New Zealand Spring Drift Matsuri.
Spring Drift.
takes place at Putakokan at Motorsport Park on November 10 and 11. An unnamed source who spoke to the New Zealand Herald described the sexual encounters. She witnesses consensual.
Well, there you go. That's what I was saying.
Except for one bloke. The source said she was not intoxicated. Police said anyone possessing an intimate recording who spread it around may be facing charges, Sid. Now, Senior Sergeant Benoit Balls of the Taupo Area Crime Prevention told the New Zealand Herald that they're investigating the matter, saying it involved a number of alleged offenders. The event organiser, Dick Swollen, claims to have spoken to the single woman involved in the group sex, and she doesn't want to push charges either.
He spoke to her. He's like, what's your number? Thorough investigation from Dick Swollen.
Offering a timeline of events, he said drinks had stopped being served at the paddock party when events had descended into an orgiastic on-film chaos. Sid, I have never seen that word before, but I'll be using that again today.
Who wrote this?
While he wasn't present when the event took place, he claims to have since made contact with the lone woman involved.
Yeah, and downloaded it 400 times.
You know what they say in the
what do they say?
Land of the long white cloud, Sid.
What?
If the Tarago is a rockin'. And those six people Taragos.
It's a hotbed.
Not only can you drift them, you can drop them. Now, the unnamed partygoer said the men and the woman taking part in sexual acts in the paddock were not drivers, but more like spectators. She said the alleged activities gave drifters a shit name, Sid.
Well, that's complete and utter bullshit, because I've never been more interested in drifting now.
More likely to attend an event.
This is the problem in New Zealand. There's a paddock party going on, and all of a sudden everyone wants to be involved. Dead set. They were just acting like sheep. And that attracted more males. And then it all gets out of hand.
We'll end that there.
Okay.
Well, Sid, it's been a huge couple of months since the grand final. Far too much news for two absolute niff-nuffs to cover off on. So I thought I'd get a bloke online to give us a hand. You can find this next bloke during the NRL season talking previews and reviews on Rugby League each week with Graham Hughes on Talkin' Sport on Sydney's 2SM. And you can find him on Twitter, at Reading the Play. Welcome to Full Credit the Boys, Mr. Jared Condon.
Afternoon, gentlemen. I just strolled in from a late lunch. I thought that was the obvious way to sit down and have a chat with you two guys about rugby league. And I mean, there's not much to talk about, is there?
Nah, there's not much. It shouldn't take long.
Just keep it nice and tight, mate. We run a real tight ship here.
That's why everyone listens.
Mate, we got through the NRL season and you'd think we'd all be entitled to a bit of a rest. But have you seen anything like the 2018 off-season? I mean, who needs a draft week like the AFL?
Yes. I mean, we've got a draft for 6 months and then we just roll the coaches out.
You'd like to join us? We'll run through some of the major stories since the grand final and feel free to tell us to shut up if you want to say anything because we're used to that too.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for your life, gentlemen.
Well, mate, first story off the cab off the rank,
yes.
As I was trying to say. The ability to make headlines continues for out-of-contract NRL, NFL and rugby union player Jared Hayne after he was charged with aggravated sexual assault after an alleged incident in the New South Wales Hunter region on NRL Grand Final night. Hayne has been given conditional bail and is due to appear at Burwood local court on December 10. According to court documents, his bail conditions include reporting to police 3 times a week and surrendering his passport. Now, I'll just say this before you go on. The only winner in all this story is obviously the Long Bay Pirates, who have recently freed up a bunch of salary cap space by releasing Russell Packer.
Mate, they will be hard to beat this year, the Long Bay Pirates. Strong in the halves with Hayne and Craigfield.
I just love how you started with the lowest story of the season. I mean, there's not much to see here, is there?
I want to be very careful what we say
here. Absolutely.
Anytime you want to talk about it, just say allegedly in front of anything.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
Will he play, I guess,
allegedly there's going to be a lot to play out here and a very unfortunate story for everybody concerned.
Will he ever play rugby league again?
No.
Not even overseas?
No.
He mightn't be allowed overseas.
I'd be happy to bet money that he probably may not play professional sport again.
Yeah, rugby union are always desperate for something.
Yes, well, especially in France.
Can't tell me the Wallabies wouldn't take him on. Second
Kenny
story.
Coach?
He hasn't got much to beat. Second story, the Panthers-Tigers coaching saga ended exactly as everyone had expected. Well, everyone outside of Phil Gould, it would seem, who repeatedly assured us that Cameron Daddo would be coaching the Panthers in 2019. Now, but once the dust had settled, Ivan Judas Cleary left the Tigers to coach the Panthers, taking his 46.9% winning record with him. Replacing one of history's great traders will be a man with a premiership ring on his finger, a man with a 55.6% success rate to his name, a future coaching immortal, Michael Maguire.
I honestly think that the Tigers, for once, have come out of this debacle on top. Madge Maguire is a great replacement for Ivan the Terrible. And out of all this coaching merry-go-round, I think the Tigers have done well out of this. What do you reckon?
Well, I agree with you, Sid. I think Maguire's a great get, and he'll be very good for where they are right now and their development moving forward. But surely, boys, this was the worst-kept secret of the season, well, if not the second. Back in December, the Dogs were barking that there was lots of trouble with Griffin and the fallout with Gould and denied all year long and so many lies told, and then it all unfolded exactly like everybody expected 3 months in advance.
Is it a fair thing to say that Luke Brooks signed a new contract 2 weeks after they lost Ivan Cleary?
I think that's fair to say, and that's obviously what's unfolded. But what about the weights on the shoulders out at Penrith? I mean, a 5-year deal and millions of dollars locked up in the Cleary household. And, if at some stage in the next year or two, and we know how a footy season can go off the rails for you, talk about pressure.
And we also know their history out there with Gus and Ivan the Terrible. It didn't take much last time for him to get rid of him.
Well, he got tired.
Someone said it's like a $10 million investment. I think it's ridiculous.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Sid. And I mean, wasn't it 18 months ago that Gus and Hook were best of friends and everything was lovely? And then 3 or 4 months later, you know, Gus was allegedly running half the ball work sessions.
It is possible that within the next 6 months, they'll be paying off 4 coaches at once.
Yes, there's a long list.
But that's what I'm saying. The Tigers, out of all of this, we're normally the ones paying 3 coaches at once. I think we've done well out of this.
It's very true. And you've got Robbie back.
Well, we can't have everything.
Next up, probably the biggest story so far. The Broncos-South coaching saga officially reached ludicrous levels last week after Wayne Bennett's refusal to leave Brisbane, which has reportedly stunned South Sydney in a move that plunged the circus into new embarrassing depths. On Friday, Bennett dropped the bomb on South Sydney after declaring he will remain at Brisbane in 2019. Bennett called Brisbane players together for a 12-noon meeting with speculation rife the longtime Brisbane mentor would officially confirm a 2019 swap with South Sydney's Anthony Seibold. But the anticipation amounted to not much, or as Bennett said he would be seeing out the final year of his contract with the Broncos. He said, "Does it look like I'm going anywhere?" when asked where all the drama and speculation had come from, the 68-year-old was characteristically blunt. "The drama hasn't come from me, it's come from elsewhere," he said. Bennett said, "You'd have to ask South Sydney if they were disappointed in the result of the lengthy post-season circus," but also said being sacked by the Broncos is a possibility. No shit. All of this has come after it's alleged that Anthony Seibold had already bid farewell to South Sydney players on Thursday night and was in Brisbane expecting to hold a press conference at Red Hill on Friday to announce his arrival. By Sunday, Seibold had been interviewed by The Telegraph, where he took numerous swipes at Bennett, saying he had screwed him over. But not only just Seibold, he'd screwed his family over as well. By Sunday evening, the Broncos had sacked Bennett via a voice message, opening the way for Bennett to take over South and Brisbane to name Anthony Seibold as their new coach. Today, along with John Sutton and Sam Burgess, Bennett fronted the media after training and said he was happy with his new home and he has a clear conscience about his Broncos exit. "It was never part of the plan to come here early," he said. "I agreed to come here in 2020. This was never on the agenda," Bennett bullshitted to the press. "There was a lot going on behind the scenes at Brisbane, which I wasn't privy to, which was never at my instigation. I'm pleased to be here, and I'm pleased I come on my terms in the sense that I didn't ask to leave the Broncos, and I was sacked, and I was asked to leave by them instead." Asked if he was heartbroken to leave the Broncos, Bennett said, "Do I look heartbroken?" Before dropping the bomb, he was actually pleased to be given the boot. I was happy to be sacked, he said with a smile. I'll just leave it at that. I was happy. Now, Wayne has been painted as the villain in all of this, mainly by the owners of Broncos in News Limited. But it wasn't all one-way traffic on that front, was it?
Oh, no. Gentlemen, as we know, I mean, there was a tip around back in July that Seibold had agreed, whether that was a heads of agreement or a nod and a shake and a wink, that he was going to end up being at the Broncos. And all of that played out as the months unfolded. Bennett also knew that the Broncos were talking to Bellamy, and he allegedly tipped the press off, and that blew a storm up. And then he got the tip that Seibold was coming in, and he was happy to let anybody that wanted to know that was where things were headed. And what a disaster it's just been. I mean, absolutely embarrassing. But now it's all over, thankfully. Wayne's very happy with exactly what Wayne wanted. Seibold's at the Broncos, and what a fairy tale.
Something,
maybe not.
Something that I don't think many people have thought about, but the NRL is clamping down now, bringing a salary cap in on coaching and the budget that clubs spend. And on another note, they're saying that players can't have mobile phones in the dressing rooms for integrity reasons. All of this seems to be out the window with these two, when Wayne Bennett has been calling the main players at South Sydney, telling them what's what. He cancelled a boot camp for a club that he wasn't even coaching at. It just seems like the whole integrity has gone out the window with the NRL, and Bennett's been pulling the strings the whole way.
Well, as Sid, what's even more gorgeous is there's a particular journalist that Wayne loves to leak through, who works for News Limited, and for 4 days in a row, late last week, he painted this rosy picture that was all coming from the Bennett camp. And all of a sudden, when Bennett was sacked, the last 3 days we've not seen any stories.
Yeah. Well, the only story I heard was Wayne Bennett was busy with his kid and couldn't take the phone call, and he's been sacked by voicemail. Bennett is still the victim somehow in the press.
Yes, well, I mean, it's all somewhat hilarious, isn't it? I mean, the way it's all played out, and the media ends up being manipulated to an agenda, and there's always these sources that are never quoted.
But in his defence, the way they handled the Bellamy thing was pretty underhanded as well, and he had the rights then to be pretty shitty with him, and I reckon he's just like a woman scorned. He sat on that and thought, I'll get you back, you bastards, and he has.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and he's played this to the death to get square with a couple of people, in particular, I think, the CEO and, to a lesser degree, the chairman. He is absolutely dirty on the fact that he still had a year to run on his deal, and they strategically signed Seibold with a play that, in the end, the clubs would agree to releasing Bennett and Seibold coming on board, and so Bennett then went after the Rabbits deal. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's been very underhanded all the way through by many parties.
So all things considered, do you think Seibold should have had so much power? Do you reckon he's that good a coach?
Not sure, Sid. I mean, I think he shows a lot of promise, but, gee, for a bloke his first year up in first grade and he's 6 months into his first season and showing promise with a list that we already knew had the promise and had probably gone stale for one reason or another under the previous coach, to then get a five-year deal,
yep,
multi-million dollar bucks on the biggest club in the competition, dear, oh dear, I mean, if that's not winning lotto, I'll give up.
Totally agree there.
I think the biggest thing to come out of this, and it's a question that no one has really asked yet, but I'll ask you, has Wayne Bennett bought a barbecue in the meantime?
You know the funny story is he always had one.
I can't imagine he wouldn't, to be honest, but anyway.
Yeah, about a week later he showed a couple of journos. He had a barbecue out on the balcony.
All right, next up, Manly have told Trent Barrett to take his garden furniture and piss off as they brought back former coach and back-end deal specialist Des Hasler. Hasler has wound back the clock to 2011, to a time when his haircut was still shithouse, and has reassembled many of the coaching group that lifted the Seagulls to their last premiership. The Telegraph is reporting former fullback Brett Stewart, Fingers, will join the club in an ambassadorial mentoring role, working with younger players and club sponsors on game days. Hasler has already reassembled his premiership-winning crew after appointing recruitment manager Noel Cleal and strength and conditioning coach Don Singe, while former players Matt Ballon and Michael Monaghan have also returned to the club in the coaching department.
And Desi has already purchased a shitload of furniture for Manly on a buy-now, pay-later deal. But this was another mess. Where's Barrett going to go now to get another first grade coaching gig? There'll be about six new coaches at clubs next year. And ironically for Barrett, when the music stopped, he didn't have a chair. Where's he going to go?
And should we throw into that little list of the guys that missed the chairs, Hook Griffin and the Queensland coach?
Yeah.
Kevin Walters?
Yeah, exactly. What's Kevy done?
Well, what about Hasler? I mean, he picks up the team that finished second last, but he's about to put the Manly back in the Manly. I think they've got to lift it under the livid, and I think that Hasler has been a very smart coach over many years. I do think that he'll have them performing and back challenging toward the eight. Not sure that he's got enough depth in their list to possibly make the eight, but I do think Manly are certainly on the rise.
They'll be enormous if he brings that massive attacking game plan that he had at Bulldogs. They were a pleasure to watch.
But I agree with you. I think Manly under-delivered. They had some good players there. So, again, to my point, what kind of hand did Trent Barrett play here? He had a fair list, didn't compete, and who's going to pick him up now?
Well, and there's 16 jobs in the NRL, the most sought-after competition to coach in as a rugby league coach. Why would you resign and walk when you had another long period left and you got Cherry Evans, you got decent personnel around you? I mean, it was, in the end, it was everybody else's fault, wasn't it?
Mm. Yep.
You reckon he will get another job somewhere, mate?
I think he might struggle.
Do you think he...
I certainly think he'll turn up as an assistant coach.
Yeah, but do you think he... you think he thought he had somewhere and that's what brought it all to a head, or...?
I did. He was given a nod and a wink.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he went through with his resignation back in July.
That's what I was getting at. That's what I thought.
Was that place possibly west of Parramatta?
It was.
Yep.
Next one. Valentine Holmes has rocked the NRL last Monday when he declared his intentions to pursue a professional contract in America's Premier Football League, the NFL, departing the Sharks effective immediately after spending time during the off-season at Nike's World Quarters in Oregon. It led to an extraordinary outburst from Cronulla captain Paul Gallen, who expressed his dismay over the speedy fullback's disappointing decision. "We don't get this far in the game without your teammates, and Val's left us. He's walked out, which I find disappointing," Gallen told Nine's Danny Wheedler. "The NRL are always on about the integrity of the game. I don't see how this is good for the integrity of the game. A bloke breaking contract 1 year to go and just walk out on a club and the game. It's got to be a minimum of 2 years out of the game, if not forever." Now, for anyone out there who cannot see the irony of Paul Gallen talking about the game's integrity and tossing terms around like life bans, please go find a dictionary, look up the term irony, and check out the picture of Gal waving back at you.
No, I think Gal has a good point. He once spent 3 weeks out of the game for something totally minor. Poor old Sharkies.
3 weeks out of the game on an integrity issue?
Oh, one of the best. Further towards the stories around Cronulla, they are in financial strife leading to the NRL keeping a close eye on the club's monetary situation, with NRL boss Todd Greenberg declaring that the NRL will not step in to assist clubs in economic crisis. The Sharks have been forced to sack 10 staff as the club deals with a $3 million loss from last season. Multiple media outlets, including the Daily Telegraph, are reporting the cash-strapped Sharks were forced to hand out the redundancies to save $1.5 million next year, according to CEO Barry Russell. The club faces around a $2 million revenue hit after the loss of key sponsors Opal Solar from the front of their jersey, Bang & Olufsen from the back, and Martech from their sleeves.
What do you reckon's behind this?
Guys, what about the irony here? The same week that they've announced all of their financial difficulties, had to sack 10 staff off their list. 2 days later, an ad appears on Seek and advertised in the financial press for a new financial controller. Talk about irony.
Mm. You'd be brave to take that position up in other news.
All the dogs are barking that there's going to be some big announcements about what might come out in this inquiry with the NRL in the weeks to come. And there's some pretty smart people around town who suggest that their coach may not be their coach come the end of January. So that may well be number six in the rotation of 16 clubs, head coaches into the new season.
I feel sorry for the Sharkies. They were bailed out by the ARL several times before they jumped to Super League. Their coach missed a whole season for some minor parking infringements. The salary cap auditors are just making up bullshit. They were apparently over the salary cap the year prior and the year after they won the comp, but not the year they won the comp.
Asada, the pricks, they victimised them.
Mate, Gow has every right to blow up at Val Holmes.
Nothing to see here, gentlemen, is there?
Further to Cronulla news.
You're very quiet on that. Do you want to say more?
Sean Johnson has been granted immediate release from the New Zealand Warriors, and there may be as many as eight teams. Well, there was as many as eight teams interested in signing him, according to the Telegraph. The strong tip that he was going to be playing for the cash-strapped Cronulla Sharks in 2019, which turned out a few days later to be true, signing a three-year deal in a Best and Less jersey.
Yes, that was gold, wasn't it? Was that the worst jersey photo you've ever seen?
Wouldn't you just give him...
not one sponsor anywhere. You could have put the league club on the front.
Wouldn't you just put him in a polo? Wouldn't that have just been a smarter thing to do? Just put him in a polo shirt.
Absolutely.
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, jeez. Is this a good signing, do you reckon?
I do. Yes, I do. I think he's a very talented player. I hope that he gets the right coach to bring the best out of him. It certainly hasn't been at the Warriors over recent years since Ivan Cleary left there. He's got so much potential. We know that. He just needs to stay in games and take control. Where he ends up playing will be interesting. I mean, there's certainly noise that they may be looking to release one of their halves. And Townsend has been linked to a couple of other clubs in recent days. Does he play at fullback? Does Moylan go to fullback? Who slots in where Holmes was? It's going to be an interesting little mix. And who's coaching the team in February?
Trent Barrett. Heard it here first.
Wayne Bennett. Well, I think Moylan has one position and it's not six on the whole field. I don't think he's been successful in any way at the six. I hate to say it. I think Johnson's got to play in the halves. Flanagan signing today. Kyle Flanagan signed at the Sharks for another 2 years as well. It's an interesting sort of mix. Perhaps there are clauses in that if his dad does move on, that he can move on. But I find that interesting, given that they have Moylan, Townsend, Johnson already on their books.
Well, and allegedly, the coach and his son were offered to Parramatta in the middle of last season. And Parramatta were happy to stick with their existing coach.
And Mitch Moses was offered to the Warriors.
Yes. Well, he supposedly might end up at the Warriors or the Broncos in coming weeks.
Well, I know Orange Sims have knocked him back. They've said no thanks. So.
Yes. They're looking for someone they can redeploy and defend.
Well, there's two things he hasn't. He doesn't bring the table, I guess. You're right there. Recent rumours around Gareth Widdop wanting an immediate release from the Dragons to return home to England had officials at the Red V scrambling to assure fans that Widdop would be at the club next year. But his future at the club beyond 2019 are not so certain. The playmaker role spoke to the media on Thursday morning at Wynn Stadium and reiterated that he was committed to the club next year. I'm here for the year. I'm committed to the Dragons. I have a contract till 2021. So that's where it's at the moment. There's nothing else to speculate on. I want to put to bed that I haven't asked for a release of 2019, 2020 maybe so, to all the members, fans and the little kids out there. I understand my importance to this team and my position as the captain and the leader of the club. I will be here in 2019 and can't wait for the season to start. There will be no decision by either party regarding time frame surrounding a potential release in 2020 or 2021.
Sometimes you just got to wonder who writes these PR releases, because the opening line in the PR release is, it is true, we've been in discussions for a number of weeks. Well, let me give you the tip. The reason they've been in discussions for a number of weeks was because he asked for a release. And then all of a sudden the media got hold of the story before anybody was supposed to know, and then all of the denials came out. Yes, he will stay for another season, but the story is true. He was looking for a release. He did want to head back to England. And there was a very senior club that had offered a lot of money to take him on and also pay some compensation. But it got a little bit too much of a story, and he'll stay for at least 12 months.
So two questions. Who leaked that story, and does Josh Masood know?
Well, I think one of them selling ice creams, and one of them I don't know.
it's a shame to split up that dynamic Ben Hunt Gareth Widdop combination. Proved so successful for 6 months last year.
So, is your understanding that Widdop was offered a lot more money, or what's the story behind this? There's obviously a story behind this.
This homesick thing can't be true.
That can't be true. He's been here since he was a kid.
I don't know. That was certainly the story that was peddled. And at one stage of the story that was peddled, it was his wife. But then everybody said, but hang on a sec, his wife comes from Melbourne.
He is homesick. He wants to go back to Craig.
Yes. Listen, I would suggest that the English club that had offered some money had offered some very, very big money.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Speaking of England, Penrith have released Trent Merrin to play in England whilst re-signing talented young forward James Fisher-Harris on a three-year deal, Regan Cameron-Gillard until 2024, and Nick Luitoso until 2020. It obviously sends a clear message to any Penrith player that unless they are prepared to put a hyphen in their name, they will be immediately moved on. This has already spread to the coaching ranks, as Ivan Cleary will be now known as Ivan Cleary Turncoat.
Gus Gould said this was definitely not happening. Trent Merrin will definitely be there next year.
What about these long-term contracts? Aren't they the vogue at the moment?
Yeah.
2024 is a long time for a forward, especially.
I won't be alive then.
You wouldn't think so.
No, not with my lifestyle.
Your liver won't be anyway.
I tell you, I do think Trent Merrin will absolutely kill it in England at Leeds. He'll have a picnic over there, through the middle.
I can see him coming out of that pretty well, but Gus Gould went on Twitter and emphatically denied it, and then 2 days later, apparently a discussion between Phil Gould and Trent Merrin was had, and he was off.
Yes. Well, was that the 16th or the 17th denial this year?
Full credit to the boy's very own Gus Gould. I can't trust him anymore. I just can't trust him.
Really?
No, I can't trust him.
Cameron Munster has sorted out his long-term playing future, signing a monster deal with Melbourne until the end of 2023. To be completely honest, he said, I was never going to go. It's the first club that gave me the opportunity to play football, so I knew I needed to repay them. Meanwhile, Storm skipper Cameron Smith still remains unsigned for 2019, but his future is likely to be settled in the coming weeks with a 2-year deal, Sid, said to be tabled, which will see the future immortal go past 400 NRL games.
They should give him a 2-year deal. It will only mean the loss of probably 8 or 9 juniors. What a great club man Cameron Smith will be if he takes up that offer.
Well, gentlemen, the other story that all the dogs are barking is this is where another big announcement's going to be in the coming weeks about certain salary cap issues and whether some clubs have been a little bit over. And the Storm keep getting linked to this. And that's possibly the hold-up on re-signing Cameron Smith and why players like Chalmers and a few others have been linked to being released and or moving elsewhere, because they need to shed some players and shed some dollars off their cap. And there might be a bit more to come out of this in the next 3 or 4 weeks through the Christmas period, probably released on Boxing Morning just before the test starts.
Well, when they announced Cameron Munster has been signed to a monster deal and they're talking about Cameron Smith holding out for at least $1 million a year, any whiff of salary cap, they're going to have to release a lot of players, even if they do announce it on Boxing Day when no one is watching the cricket.
I think you might be right.
I'm sorry, I just can't imagine a salary cap problem down in Melbourne. I just can't imagine. You guys are cuckoo.
Well, Sam Cassiano's down there on 79,000, just under the limit. So how could there be a problem?
A lot of Harvey Norman vouchers.
He could be playing hooker next year the way he's travelling. But Sonny Bill Williams hasn't ruled out a return to the Roosters in the future, revealing he will move to Sydney once he has finished with rugby union, which will likely be after the 2019 Union World Cup. Williams and Nick Politis have a handshake agreement in place, and if he ever returns to the NRL, it will be with the Bondi Club. And you know Sonny Bill's good for his word, where he won a premiership in 2013. Sonny Bill said, mate, I'm 33, I'm a realist. I'll be 34 at the end of next year. It's about being where my feet are.
He's also a mathematician.
If that means at the end of it, he could be the Storm salary cap man.
Yeah.
If that means at the end of the season it's all finished, my sporting career is done and dusted, and then it's humbling, then thank God, I'll be grateful. I think eventually we'll be living up in Sydney, but there's a possibility the sporting career could be done and dusted by then, by the end of the year, or there's a possibility I could try and hang on for a little bit more, in brackets, money, close brackets.
Surely not.
Boys, he's coming.
Really?
He will play back at the Roosters.
Why?
They weren't just having breakfast last week for scrambled eggs and a cup of coffee.
Smashed avo.
I couldn't read the expression on Politis' face. I couldn't get a read off him. But why? Why at 33, 34, playing rugby, why would you throw money at Sonny Bill?
Nick, absolutely. I don't think that the money will be silly. Nick and Robbo absolutely love him. The culture and the leadership that he brings to the club when he was there, they want it back, and they'd love to have him play a season and then be a part of the furniture in some way.
Interesting.
The Bulldogs...
I mean, the man won him a premiership, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but... It's a long time ago. I just can't see the appeal. I just don't know why. Like, I get it that the Roosters love him, and it's good to have a clubman around like that, but he's not a...
Oh, Sid, I'm with you. I'd love to have him in the joint. I wouldn't be paying him to play on the football field.
Yeah, well, I just don't see the appeal when there's so many others that they can buy.
His it won't stop them, don't worry about that. His boxing career is now in all disarray after being flogged by Stuart Landy on the weekend, so maybe there is still hope for the Roosters.
So what's he up against Mundine next? Or?
Oh, no, I wouldn't think so. I'd like to see him fight Gal.
Just... Boxing's such a stand-up sport at the moment.
Yes. The West Tigers have tabled halfback Luke Brooks a $2.7 million three-year offer as the club looks to outbid rival suitors poaching the local junior.
Just got him. It's confirmed.
Meanwhile, the Tigers have told Josh Reynolds he's free to explore his options away from the club.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think the Dogs have been barking that one for a long time, and I would not have thought that Reynolds would fit under the style of football that Madge McGuire is going to want to play.
Another Ivan Cleary success story?
Quite possibly. Does he end up back at the Bulldogs, gentlemen?
Well, we're asking you.
Well, I'd say, given that, depending on how much of the contract the Tigers are probably willing to pay, I'd reckon.
Yeah. I think that's the logical return. And again, it's a matter of who splits the bill and how much who pays. But either that or I'm not sure he's going to be playing a lot of first grade next season.
Well, yeah. See, this goes to my integrity point before with Bennett talking to South Sydney players. I know that Ivan the Terrible signed the grub last season, but he signed him on what people perceived was overs and on a long-term contract. He plays not even half a season, and then we're trying to offload him. I just find this whole coaching thing throws up more questions than it's worth to me.
More problems.
More problems than it's worth.
And I think they're the right questions, Sid. I agree with you totally. And I mean, look at Lola here. I mean, Lola here was enticed over under Ivan. Paid big bucks, was promised that he'd play at 5'8". I mean, I think he probably had half a game, if best, at 5'8". Now he's off and playing in England.
He was absolutely promised that 5'8 spot. And then he went and bought two 5'8s. And then he left and left us with two 5'8s that we'd are at the tail end of
their
career.
And the money that Reynolds was offered was crazy. I mean,
exactly.
I thought that it was 40% overs.
There's a couple more, like McQueen. There's a couple that he's taken back to Penrith.
That's one of the worst signings.
But seriously, some of these coaches that sign long-term contracts and sign players to long-term contracts and then don't see out their own contract, I think it's ridiculous.
I understand that Josh Reynolds has been talking to Canterbury. Now, they've put a deal to him that they'll pay him by the game, which he's not happy with. He said he'd prefer to be paid by the penalty he gives away.
Or the dummy half error.
Now, finally, the Bulldogs have released David Clemmer to the Knights, who are in the midst of trying to buy a premiership. And in return, the Dogs have signed Roosters' Rocks and Diamonds forward, Dylan Napper. Who wins there?
Oh, gee. Well, I do think Clemmer will be good for the Knights, but I couldn't have paid that sort of money for him. We've got a long-term deal and paying, I would have thought, 40% overs for a front rower that pays maybe 50 minutes of a game.
Mm.
I just think something's out of whack there.
And what about Napper? Is he a good signing for the Dogs? Do you think he'll fit in there?
Well, everybody says that it's $650 a year. I still think that's possibly overs, but it's been no secret that Robbo's been happy to unload him for the last 18 months.
He wasn't
Bulldogs,
playing big minutes.
Are trying to appease their supporters, aren't they?
I don't think it's a good signing at all.
No. Nah.
What else, mate? What else is blowing around? Anything, any news? Anything we should know about? Anything we should be in front of?
Well, I think we've covered most of it, gentlemen. Gee, I do think that there's going to be lots of player movement in the next six to eight weeks. With now that all the coaching settled, we're going to see some dicing and slicing. I'm sure that there's movement coming out of the Broncos. Now that Seibold's there, there's going to be a few things he wants to shake up. I'm sure Bennett wants to do something similar. I'm sure Hasler's in the market. He's probably got a couple of people that he may want to trade. I'm sure Maguire probably wants to do something. So there's lots of movement and shaking happening right through until late January. We won't really know the final player list until then. I mean, we've just seen Johnson move from the Warriors. Who would have guessed that?
Exactly right. Mate, most importantly, at this end of the season, Christmas time and everything else, will the Daily Telegraph be having their own Christmas party, and are the cars around the venue safe?
Oh, I think there'd be players from all clubs sending text messages just trying to line up with a few undercover detectives and photographers.
Well, mate, we might get you on during the year in 2019. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. For those who don't know, Jared, under his Twitter handle, has been a strong advocate for this show, done a lot of retweeting on our behalf, and been very helpful. So we can only say thank you for that, mate. We wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. Thanks for all your help during the year.
My pleasure, gentlemen. It's just fantastic to be here. And I love the fun and banter you bring to the game. Wonderful.
Don't forget, you can find him at Reading the Play on Twitter. You can also hear him on 2SM during the footy season with Graham Hughes. How is Graham going since Buzz Rothfield threatened to flog him within an inch of his life?
Right now, I think he's as red as a crab, laying on the beach in Avoca and knocking back a few glasses of red each evening.
Are you talking about Graham Hughes or Buzz's cheeks?
I think you can take that whichever way you like.
All right, mate. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it on this warm summer's night.
Be good, gentlemen. Have a great Chrissy. Full credit to the
boys. Well, thank you very much to Mr. Jared Condon for joining us. But without further ado, it's time for this. Johnson, a step
back. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia's news.
Sports news.
Cricket. And a recent review of the bans on Australian captain and vice-captain Steve Smith and Dave Warner has resulted in their bans from playing representative cricket after the Sandpaper Gate saga remained in place, meaning we won't see either player before March in 2019.
Look, I think the punishments were probably too harsh with
ridiculous.
hindsight.
And hindsight.
Yeah, hindsight. And what do they say about hindsight, having 20/20 vision? What do they say about 2020? The only vision of cricket you'll see on free-to-air TV due to this ridiculous deal. The Australian Cricket Board's done. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. No one cares about Dave Warner and Steve Smith. No one cares about cricket this year. The ACB have ruined the game. They've created the mess that was Sandpaper Gate, and they've ruined my interest in cricket this year. Also, I couldn't get my SCG members pass this year. So I'll be fucked if I'm going out there and watch this shit and only drink mid-strength beer. I'm angry and I can't even remember what I'm angry about.
Cricket. That's right. A report in the Sydney Morning Herald by Adrian Prashenko shows Australian sports supporters have the strongest emotional connection with their national women's teams, with new research showing they fill the top four spots in a new survey, while frustrated cricket fans have voted the men's test team all the way down in 62nd and last place.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but anyway, keep going.
The research paints a bleak picture for some of Australia's national men's sporting teams and how they are perceived by the public. The Wallabies came in 16th, while the much maligned men's test cricket team finished 22nd of the 62 teams overall. The news was even worse for cricket coach Justin Langer's squad when the overall sports fans' views were broken down, coming in last in 62nd place in that category. The result reflects the fans' disillusionment following the Sandpaper Gate scandal that led to the suspension
of
Steve Smith, Dave Warner and Cameron Bancroft. I'll just run through the top 10, the top 10 Australian national sporting sides.
Now, hit me. These are going to be big names, I imagine.
Number one, the Pearls. What do they play? That's right, the Australian women's rugby sevens team.
Oh, of course, yep.
Two, the Matildas.
They're the soccer team. I remember Australian from the calendar they did a few years ago.
Three, the Diamonds.
No idea.
Australian netball team.
Oh, okay.
Four, the Opals.
Is that the basketball team?
Australian women's basketball team.
Yeah, nice.
Five, the Kangaroos.
I know who that is.
Australian National Rugby League team.
I thought
Six,
it was North Melbourne.
The Boomers.
The Boomers. The men's basketball.
Seven, the Socceroos.
Yeah, great Australian team.
Eight, Australian men's T20 cricket team. Nine.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
The T20 cricket team.
Yeah, is more people are more passionate about that than the Australian test team, according to this survey. Queensland Maroons rugby league team.
All right,
nine.
So the Australian men's T20 cricket team, people are more passionate about them than the Maroons.
Yes, that's right.
Who wrote this shit?
I don't know.
Adrian Prozenko. Always welcome on the show, AJ.
10, the Australian men's rugby sevens team.
Well, look, I was fired up about this. That's what I was trying to say before I lost my shit. But let's get fair, Dinkum. I'd still watch cricket and drink mid-strength beer before I watch fucking rugby.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a joke.
Rah-rah, speaking of which.
Oh, nice.
The Wallabies are in all sorts of disarray after a rollercoaster season that has yielded just 4 wins from 13 tests. In the most recent outing, the Australian team were beaten by Eddie Jones' England team 37 points to 19, which once again featured Australian coach Michael Checker channeling his inner Ricky Stewart and blaming poor refereeing decisions for another loss.
Oh, I'm glad that you read that out to me because I'm more interested in that than cricket now.
Soccer. After 50 goals for the Socceroos, Tim Cahill has made an emotional farewell to international football in Australian Canary Yellow, with Australia running out 3-0 winners over Lebanon, traditional rivals, in Sydney. Cahill was given a guard of honour by his teammates after full time during a special presentation.
And so they should have given him a guard of honour. He played 6 minutes. They should have carried him from the field. He would have been exhausted.
Soccer.
No, a great proponent for soccer in this country.
Well, speaking of great proponents for soccer.
Yeah.
Diego Maradona has been sent off whilst managing in the Mexican second division on Friday, appearing to threaten to punch the opposition manager. He's a balanced dude.
Maradona, gift that keeps on giving.
Well, this comes after the Argentinian legend, who is currently in charge of Dorados de Sinaloa.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not how you pronounce that.
Wouldn't think so. Wrong.
Wrong.
Led his side to a 1-0 win over Atletico San Luis.
Yeah, probably wrong as well.
In the first leg of a playoff final. What happened after the back of that was one of the more extraordinary TV interviews when Maradona was asked his opinions on the strength of the league over there in Mexico. See, I believe we've got a bit of audio to play here of Maradona.
I recorded it.
Tricky question.
Estando acá, Diego, me imagino que has visto también más el fútbol de la Liga MX de Primera División. Lo has observado más de cerca, me imagino, aunque ya algo lo conocías. ¿Qué piensas de la Liga MX, de su nivel?
No,
you know what that is?
What's that?
One of them times when you get asked a question, you think, I don't know how to answer this because I really don't want to. Have a listen to it again.
No,
if he gets sacked as a manager, he can always be a commentator.
Hey, Sid, how did Dry July go?
No,
Hey, former, what did happen on that end of season trip to Thailand back in 1990?
No,
Hey, Anthony Seibold, are you happy with those two halves you've got at Brisbane?
No,
Hey, Fox Sports, was this year a great year to try and get people to pay to watch cricket?
No,
Hey, Justin Langer, the Australian Cricket Board have decided to stick with the ban on Warner and Smith. It must be great to be part of an organisation that sticks to their morals.
No,
Hey, former and Sid, are you going to try and get the mole back on to interview him again on your show?
No,
Hey, former and Sid, I reckon your show was better with Normie on the way. You reckon?
No,
fucking hell. You reckon that's the last time you hear that sound bite your kidney?
We'll be keeping that. very good.
Darts.
Darts. We're covering darts. And so we should. It's been a big season in darts.
Well, darts is one of those funny games, Sid, where we can't actually put our finger on why it's such an attraction, but it bloody well is.
It sure is.
It's a game played by fat blokes who like a beer and a smoke, and apparently that makes them athletes.
Yeah. And they should have their own podcast.
I think there are a lot of things that separate darts from other sports, and the post-match interview could now be on top of that list. Because these are normal blokes having normal conversations. Because a couple of weeks ago, Sid, some of the greatest players in the world of professional darts converged on Wolverhampton in England for the final stretch of a huge international tournament, the Grand Slam of Darts. The stakes were high. Whoever won would walk away with about $140,000 in prize money. There was a pretty big deal when one player accused his rival of an atrocious and game-altering offence.
How do you cheat at darts?
Well, this bloke ripped a bunch of god-awful farts, the kind I'm forced to endure in this studio every week during the footy season. Now, according to The Guardian, after Gary Anderson beat Wesley Harms 10-2 on Saturday for a spot in the quarterfinals, Harms blamed his loss on a fragrant smell, which he claimed came from his opponent, letting out some of the rancid stinkers. "It'll take me 2 nights to lose this smell from my nose," Harms told a Dutch TV station. But when the interviewer confronted Anderson about allegedly passing gas during the match, he returned the accusation right back on Harms. He too said he had smelled the offending odour, an unbearable stench of rotten eggs, but he said he was 1,010% confident that Harms had done the deed, not him. Have a just listen to the accusation being laid at his feet.
"Just spoke to Wesley, and besides that, he said you were a class player and you let him alive in the first session. He said that it was smelly on the stage."
"I thought Wesley had farted on stage." "Yeah." "Did he?"
"No. I think he thinks you did it."
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. This is the sort of stuff we're missing from rugby league.
Yeah.
Cricket.
There's not enough controversy in rugby league.
I tell you what, the old backdoor bugle could be quite handy to a wicketkeeper that's standing up to the stumps, couldn't it? "Get back, champ." You don't know who's standing there.
Fartgate in the darts.
Anyway, he then said the interviewer then asked him if he could prove, asked Anderson, whether he could prove it wasn't him. And, I mean, this is as good a piece of evidence you'll ever need in a court of law to prove that that smell didn't come from your back door.
"You can put your finger up the arse, there'll be no smell there. I thought he had shit and I went, that's dirty. It was bad."
"It was bad."
"It was bad. It was a stink. I thought it was him."
"You can put your finger up my arse, there'll be no smell there.
That's dirty."
Now, furthermore...
Sounds like something that was cut out of Shrek.
Furthermore, a further piece of evidence that Anderson has laid down, not a cable, laid down in support of him not being the farter. This is what he said to back up that claim.
"And he started playing better, but must have needed to get some wind out."
"Yeah. And he thought it was you."
"Oh, no. Hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
Swear on my kid's life."
He's put his kid's life on an accusation of a fart.
And our hearts go out to those kids if they've ever sat in a car with their dad on a long trip after a night on the Tui's Blacks or something. What a horrendous smell that'd be.
He's an athlete. It'll be a protein shake.
You want to hear a bit more? This is my best. This is my favourite bit.
Yeah, hit me.
"But it was smelly anyway."
"It was smelly. Usually if I fart on stage, I shit myself. And you know that, because I've told you in a documentary. Ain't scared to... If I'd farted it smelled like that, I'd put my hands up and go, oh, sorry, I need to..."
I'm a massive fan of darts now, and I want to see this documentary.
Well, I tell you what, that's the one thing that's come out of this for me. I've got to watch this documentary.
Absolutely. That's his sole defence. You can stick your finger up my ass, or you can check my documentary where I covered off on this.
We'll end the interview with this last caption, or this last quote. I mean, this pretty much pulls a full stop on it for me. It wasn't Anderson.
So who was it then? Well, don't tell me. You've got our three boys up there. So, no, it definitely came from, it was table side. And it was eggs, rotten eggs.
Not from you?
Not for me. No. No.
Okay, thank you.
And every time we walked past, it was a waft of rotten eggs. So that's why I was thinking it was him.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So there you go, Sid. Yeah, it wasn't Anderson, it was a mystery second shooter.
Someone farting on the grassy knoll.
Sure, I mean, he who smelled it dealt it would usually mean that he was at fault here. Yet something just doesn't smell right, Sid. You like what I'm doing here? If he's innocent, why would he go to such extreme lengths to describe the fart in question? Why paint its alleged origins and bouquet in such painstaking, stomach-churning detail?
Yep.
And why would Harms even bring it up if it was, in fact, he who played the butt trumpet during their match?
Well, I've learnt two things tonight.
Yeah?
I'm now a massive fan of darts and drifting in New Zealand.
Which one would we be going to first? Well,
never let the two join.
I was going to say, make the order right. Boxing. Jeff Horn has absolutely hammered Anthony Mundine into retirement, bashing him in a first-round annihilation in their fight in Brisbane. After an overhyped build-up, it was all over in 96 seconds as the younger, stronger man made Mundine look every bit of his 43 years of age on what was described as a perfect night.
Who described that?
Probably more Horn than Mundine, I'd imagine. The Queenslander was ruthless from the opening bell, stunning Mundine with an overhand right in the first exchange before driving a thundering shot into his opponent's body that clearly hurt the former rugby league star. I knew I hurt him with that first one, Horn said. Mundine attempted to jab his way into the contest, but every time Horn exploded forward, he did damage, and it wasn't long before the finishing blow, a left hook, landed Mundine's knight in horizontal position.
Yeah.
That's it? Right. Thought you had a stroke.
No.
I was going to carry on.
Don't care.
Finally, car racing. Scott McLaughlin has been crowned the V8 supercar title in a dramatic finale on the beaches of Newcastle, while full credit to the boys' very own Davey Reynolds won the final race of the year. However, Davey experienced heartbreak while leading the Bathurst 1000 in October when his body began suffering from lack of fluids, which led to him being forced from the car to hand back over to his co-driver despite being in command of the race with only half an hour to go.
If I had a missus like that, my body would be lacking fluids. Full
credit to the boys. All right, Sid, for the last time in 2018, it's time for this. We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. That's right, make a change. Should we talk about Tuesdays only for your Grab a Mirror nominations? I'll give you the date further down the track, but don't do it next Tuesday. You are certainly wasting your time and mine.
Yep.
Sid, do you mind if I go first?
You go first, my friend.
Grab a Mirror, Prince Harry.
What's Prince Harry done?
I want it on record, Sid.
Okay.
This thing's not going to end well, this marriage between him and Meghan Markle.
Mm-hmm.
Since she's been part of the royal family, she's had three assistants fired from the personal staff. She's been berated by Kate Middleton, our Kate, for the way she speaks to staff in Buckingham Palace.
Not full credit to the boy's very own Kate Middleton.
No, but, you know, and has been directly linked to the divide between the two brothers, William and Harry. Now, this isn't a scoop, Sid, and you can't help who your family are. But let's not forget Meghan Markle. Her father is a nutter who has tried to milk every cent out of the media by staging photos before the wedding and selling interviews after the wedding.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Her sister Samantha, well, because he looks like you, sister Samantha is a certified fruitcake who has appeared in the headlines every week since the marriage, including just this morning where she mocked Meghan for requesting air fresheners inside the church when they were married. I'm telling you now, the royal family, including the Queen, aren't going to be putting up for Meghan Markle much longer. and this isn't going to end well. And when I say this isn't going to end well for Meghan Markle...
What are you suggesting?
With the royal family, when things aren't going well, all I can say is, Paris, vroom vroom. So grab a mirror, Prince Harry. Your family has spent the last 400 years marrying your own cousins. Don't go breaking the mould in 2018. Equal.
10.
We've got equals.
5 of them, I think.
We didn't even give people that much notice. And yeah, there's still equals.
Oh, there's people blowing up. Why didn't you tell us before?
Why didn't they all buy tickets to the live show? You should only read out grabber mirrors from people that were at the live show.
Oh, don't worry. We've got a special little shout out for someone in this.
Oh, nice.
At Cricket Flog, who was at the live show, says, hashtag grabber mirror dogs that eat cat shit. Hashtag then lick your owner's hand. Hashtag filthy fuckers.
That's a good point.
Equal
10.
At efficient, not lazy. I gave him the green light on this tweet. He's probably got a bit of blowback since then.
Yeah.
Grab a mirror myself. I've had a few days to come up with some witty observations on life, and much like Michael Hutchence, I've choked under pressure. I guess neither of us got the happy ending we wanted. Hashtag too soon.
And he checked that with you?
Yeah. Give him the green light.
Yeah. We should do a segment, Life Advice by Former Legend.
Equal.
Remember that time you pretended you were a doctor? That ended well.
10.
Lever, cutter, ditcher.
And then he introduced her to it.
That's right. Hashtag grab a mirror, says Milram361, to Usman Khawaja's brother for having the name Arsalan or Arsabout or Arslick or something. No wonder he was arrested. He'll be popular in jail. Hashtag grab a mirror. Equal.
Long Bay cricket team's looking good.
10.
At MP6868 says, grab a mirror, Anthony Mundine. Mate, that fight was a farce and you went down quicker than a $30 Patong hooker. Now, ordinarily, that tweet wouldn't have got in. But the reply from Lynn's carer was the one that got it over the line. $30 in Patong, you're paying too much.
You know what I reckon about that Mundine fight?
What's that? Equal.
10.
At Ben Pugsley wrote, grab a mirror. Droughts, bushfires, hail, beaten favourites, traffic jams, lawyers, alarm clocks, country music, politicians, blisters, buzz, hangovers, Christmas shopping, sunburn, mozzies.
Someone's been missing the regular Tuesday vent.
Now, just checking and let me find out if we're up to number 9, because this one's a special one. 1, 2, 3, 4,
no
five.
Way, we're up to 9 already.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I'm just going to press it while you're pushing.
10. 9.
What are we
try that.
10.
We'll try 9.
Nine?
Yeah, try it.
9.
At Jace Bennett 11. Grab a mirror, full credit the boys podcast and at Former Legend, for promising the people a live recording on the FCTTB app and not delivering. Any more false promises and you'll be able to run for PM.
Well, that's a good point. I'm not sure if we covered off on this at the beginning of the show, but there's a lot of problems with broadcasting that live show.
What are they? Just give us a top 5.
Just read the United Nations Charter. We offended a lot of people and sorts of...
If you were there, Jace Bennett,
well,
11,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
You know what we were talking about.
Sure, you spent $1.99 on the app or $1.49, I think. It's a bargain. There's going to be a lot more features on the app this year.
They're coming.
Yeah.
8.
So is Christmas.
8.
At Ryan T. Jansen says, grab a mirror of farts. Why is it that your own farts you can sniff up your nostrils with a raging horn, but as soon as it's someone else's, we think it's utter filth? This one might be for at Dr. Carl.
Well, surprisingly enough, in this podcast, we've already covered off on farts.
7.
This is what the people want.
At LV05. Grab a mirror of Wayne Bennett for essentially making an orphan of Darius.
Oh, it's very sad.
6.
At Lynn's carer. The aforementioned. Hashtag grab a mirror, John Allen Chow, the American preacher who kayaked to North Sentinel Island hoping to convert to Christianity a tribe of natives known for shooting at outsiders with bows and arrows. Hashtag didn't end well. Hashtag Jesus will protect me. Hashtag no he won't. Hashtag Jesus must have been busy.
No one even protected Jesus. Did you not read that book that you're sprouting off to natives?
The guy dies 5. In the end if you're reading it.
I watched that Mel Gibson Passion movie. That was just set up for a sequel.
Oh, And anyone who sat through Titanic, you didn't know that boat was going down.
I haven't seen that yet.
About an hour in, you're thinking, hurry up.
You've ruined that for me.
Beer
Five,
boy.
I think we're up to. Beer Boy.
This is three tweets all joined together.
Okay.
At Beer Boy 182 says, grab a mirror and my mate who told me that any poop that I take that's over a few minutes is unnecessary. If I want to take 20 minutes at work to cook a brown carrot and get paid for it, I will.
Hear, hear.
To which, at Kane McMillan 1 wrote, grab a mirror anyone who takes less than 20 minutes to pinch one off while at work. To which Beer Boy wrote, hashtag grab a mirror anyone who didn't realize there's an app to calculate how much money you earn at work while planting a steaming bouquet of brown roses.
There's an app for that?
That's right. Well, there goes one of the features of the new Full Credit the Boys app.
I was just writing code for that.
Hashtag Beer Boy.
And by writing code, that means
4,000 clams last financial year.
Four?
Yeah, sure.
Four.
At Shaywom wrote, hashtag grab a mirror. Every sport that's currently being played in Australia, you nearly have a captive audience as us footy fans kick the proverbial tin around and you still can't crack it for a headline. It's just wall-to-wall rugby league.
True.
Hashtag couldn't organise a shit in a brothel. Hashtag couldn't get a root after a curry. Jeez.
Is it my go?
No, there's...
Equal?
Yeah, equal four.
Four.
At Todd Greasley. The greaser. The monkey.
I've missed that guy.
The slippery guy.
He's looking fit on Twitter. Have you seen him?
No. Nah.
Me neither.
No. Nah.
Did but you he see tweet, him in the live show? Weight. Yeah, sorry about the live show.
I don't
show.
Toss the words around sex pest very often.
No. Or shut up, mate.
Oh.
We kicked him off stage.
Yeah. At Todd Greasley, the greaser. Hashtag grab a mirror myself for taking way too long to be blocked by does Danny Widler and Buzz the Flog. My Twitter timeline is so much clearer with less shit dribble being retweeted by 82,000 burner accounts. Hashtag grab a mirror.
Not sure if people noticed. Well, I know a couple of people noticed, but I'm not sure if all of you noticed that I begged Buzz to follow me the other day. There's method to my madness, people.
There's something coming.
Stay tuned in 2019.
Something coming. You'll be...
what are we up to?
As long as you can all shut up, mate.
I've already said too much. What are we up to?
Your go.
My go.
Yes.
Grab a mirror, vegans. Now, I don't normally pick on vegans.
I'd say grab a mirror, but you're too weak to pick it up, you poor bastards.
Nah, look, vegans are now pushing governments around the world to recognise them as victimised groups.
Good on them.
And I, for one, yeah, I agree with them.
Yeah.
Vegans are terribly victimised around the world and historically. Just ask the Jews. It is outrageous the amount of shit
got big
that
quick.
They have to put up with. Now, an academic the other day from some bullshit university, some academic called Anita Carrot, explained to the independent.co.uk that many phrases like bringing home the bacon and putting all your eggs in one basket should be considered offensive because...
Good call.
Anita Carrot says so. She didn't back it up with any hard evidence. But she said sayings like bringing home the bacon should be replaced by bringing home the bagel.
What?
Putting all your eggs in one basket should be replaced by put all your berries in a bowl. Flogging a dead horse, that's offensive to vegans. Flogging a dead horse should be replaced by feeding a fed horse. That sounds like animal cruelty to me, making a fat horse fatter. Anyway, Anita Carrot says so. And killing two birds with one stone should be feeding two birds with a scone.
What?
She also said the phrase, weird psycho bitch, should be replaced with virgin cat lover for her own benefit. Grab a mirror, vegans.
I've got a saying for her.
Hit me.
End yourself.
Two.
How's that one? No, we're up to three, bro. You've had an ear swing, Nick.
Yeah, I just wanted to press something so we didn't have to dwell on what you said. Okay, let's go now.
Three.
Who got the top three?
And Harry. Jeez, you're trying to put some space between what I just said.
No, I'm just, you know.
At Harry underscore Hermit says,
trying to keep her professional.
Grab a mirror. The check engine light on my ute's dashboard. Shine as bright as you want, motherfucker. Nothing is getting done. for some time. Hashtag broke. Hashtag skit. Hashtag engine is there. I checked.
Who tweeted that? That's great.
Hairy Hermit.
Well done, Hairy Hermit.
That's one of the best.
Good job. Well, what got two then?
Two.
At Juan Farquhar.
Ah, Juani.
Grab a mirror, folks who did not attend the season highlight, aside from Jeremy Lattimore's whack sack for Australian of the Year over Cameron Smith, and the highlight of Grand Final weekend, the Full Credit Boys live show.
Yeah.
And then grab a mirror, all those people who said, what's former like?
Yep.
He is hashtag like a tiger.
Yep.
Hashtag magic day. Hashtag better than a magic weekend.
Did you see the video that he put?
No, what was that?
It's like a tiger. No, like right a okay. tiger. It was good. But he's a good bloke, Juani.
Final number good one bloke. For 2018 on Grab a Mirror.
Do they win it like a special prize? No, they do not.
No.
One.
I can honestly say, when I read this, it made me laugh.
Nice.
At Punting Tragic.
Yes.
Grab a mirror, blokes, who, in inverted commas, just married their best mate. Unless it's a gay wedding, no, you didn't. And we'll see how close your friendship is after 6 months of incessant nagging with fuck all sex. Hashtag failed friendships don't cost half your shit.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Right, make a change. Sid.
Yes, mate.
Shipperdick.com.au, Dick Hat of the Year.
And we thank Shipperdick.com.au for sponsoring the show all year. This is a bonus round for you, Shipperdick. But thank you. We appreciate you being on board. And if you want to get on board next year, if anyone wants to get on board next year, sponsorship-wise, ring me.
Yeah, ring Sid.
Yeah, ring me.
You'll find him. Just go to any low pub. Go into the male toilets and look on the shithouse wall, and that'll be Sid's number.
My number
there.
Is everywhere.
That's his business card.
Who needs business cards?
His business card is a shithouse toilet door he just carries in his back of his car.
It's very inconvenient.
It's like a novelty check. Your shipperdick.com.au, Dick Hat of the Year. Do you have one?
Oh, who's my Dick Hat of the Year?
Yeah, that's right.
No, you go first. Okay. I didn't know you were going to spring this on me.
Well, I hate to continually harp on this.
But sure you do.
The Daily Telegraph has constantly proved over and over again this year that they have an agenda about shit-kinging the game of rugby league, and therefore they are my dick hats of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If the headlines and sensationalism, like the Sam Burgess dick pic saga, Dugan Fifita on the MMA podcast, and the Bulldogs Mad Monday were a birthday cake, the amount of cream that the Daily Telegraph throw on top of that birthday cake would make it impossible for Candle to stand upright. In rugby league, if your team is playing poorly, you get rid of a few off your list and bring in some fresh blood. Well, it's time the Daily Telegraph, and in particular, got rid of a bunch of these crisis merchants and put in some people who will write some real stories.
Yeah.
Stories without the bias and the slant that the Daily Telegraph do. In 2018, their agenda-ridden headlines have reached new watermarks. But for the first time ever, I reckon, there's been a bit of a pushback, mainly due to social media. And we've seen from the fans that they're not going to accept this amount of bullshit shoved down their throat.
That's so true. I think this year we did find that.
In 2019, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the Daily Telegraph handle the upcoming backlash against all their bullshit.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Well, totally without notice, but my dick hat of the week and something that I think I've made quite evident throughout the year. I'm not a fan of political correctness. I'm not a fan of gender reveals. I'm not a fan of 37 genders. I'm not a fan of bullshit for bullshit's sake. During the week, it was going to be my grab a mirror. They had a gender reveal. In a time when people are saying there's 37 genders, apparently a thing is having a gender reveal where they do some fancy bullshit in front of all their friends that the friends couldn't give a shit. But they all gather him around and get him to buy him presents, and then they reveal somehow that a blue or a pink thing bursts. Pretty sure you saw this during the week.
Yeah.
Old mate decided to get his, what car was it?
Commodore, I think.
It was a shit box. It was in a paddock.
X-taxi.
And he decided to smoke it up, and as he smoked it up, pink came out of the wheels. So everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a girl. And then he kept smoking it up. His car caught on fire. So all that really revealed is, A, she's a bogan. B, she may be without a father by the time the kid's born. And C, the whole thing is fucking ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought it revealed. As soon as I seen the pink, I thought, oh, okay, it's a girl. And then the car caught on fire. So from what I can tell, they're delivering birth to a baby with already third-degree burns.
But my dickhead of the year, nay, century, is political correctness. I will not be politically correct next year. Vegans are another bone of my...
Contention?
I say bone? No, yeah, can I say bone?
No.
I can't say bone. If two vegans have a fight, can I say that they're having a beef? I don't even know anymore. Drives me mad.
Who's under the pump in 2019, Sid? Because I'll tell you who's under the pump. It's almost take your pick here, but yeah. The NRL coaches.
Oh, 100%. That's what I was going to say.
In 2019, we're going to have Wayne Bennett at Souths.
Yes,
Anthony Seibold at the Broncos.
Two.
Desi Hasler at Manly.
Three.
Judas Cleary at Penrith.
Four.
Michael Maguire at the Tigers.
Five.
Mary McGregor at the Dragons. And Dean Pay at the Bulldogs in his final year of his contract. They'll all be under the pump in 2019. I mean, the only bloke who probably is assured of his spot, no matter what happens, is obviously Ricky Stewart.
Ricky Stewart! Look for him to get a 25-year contract extension. And well-deserved, I may say.
Oh, one of the great coaches has improved so many players. Hang on. Sit down. I'll give you a list of all the players he's improved.
Roll the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. Boy, he's sad.
That list was as long as my commentary on Mundine's fight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something then. As long as you're caught. Okay. Bit of an update on the West Wales Raiders, Sid.
Mate, aren't they taking the Twitterverse by storm?
Today they've signed Greek international Demosthenos Katsokanis.
Good player. I think I tweeted it out. He's one of my favourites.
To the 2019. Also, you can now buy official West Wales Raiders merchandise via their website.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look too bad.
Guess what my missus is getting for Christmas in my size?
Surprise! It's a gender reveal. This is our final show for this year. Well, first of all, yeah. Merry Christmas to everyone who listened. Thank you all to all those people who came on the live show. Anyone who's bought a membership pack, thank you very much. Anyone who's tweeted us something funny.
It was a resounding success, the live show.
It was. It was
everyone
very
who was
fun.
There. We've had nothing but great feedback, and we will be doing it again.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, we'll probably do it
mid-year
and end of year. Oh, I've said too much.
We planned to go for 2.5 hours that day. We went for 6.
Yeah.
Buckets Hemsley came up twice.
Yep.
First time was like the censored version. Then it got loose.
Well, I listened to it the other day. The first one wasn't that censored either.
No.
I've deleted it. It's gone.
That joke he had about Larry Coral or every pilot.
Anyway, let's move on.
That was one of the greats. What else have we got going on? Oh,
we
gonna
thank
have
all our sponsors
very
for
much
this
so.
Year.
Thank you to Mayor Inc. Thank you to Rum and Q for their wonderful patronage on the day.
Yes.
If you're having a Christmas party in the next 4 weeks or even a New Year's and you need some catering, contact Rum and Q. Go to their website. It's amazing stuff. Thank you very much to
Shipperdick.com.au, proud sponsor this year of
our segment, Dick Hat of the Week. Thank you very much to the Penshurst Hotel.
They were great to us.
Awesome. Very, very well. Anyone else that we need to thank?
Picture Magazine's always been good to us.
Yeah, very, very much so. Especially those personal messages they send me.
We shouldn't say too much. The Cronulla Sharks will print all of these.
Now, in 2019,
yes,
memberships are back.
Yes, we'll be doing something.
Something different this year. Plus a couple of bonuses for strictly for members only.
Yeah. We've got a few ideas.
Anything else we need to say? Our YouTube clip of the week. I'm telling you something now. If you've listened this far in, go and get on YouTube and look for Michael Winslow doing Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, it's
one classic. Of the great film clips you'll ever see. Is that all we need to say right now?
Yeah, I think I'm going to trial a new segment next year. It's my musings pretty much every morning when I take a bog. So if you don't mind, can I sign off for the last time in 2018?
Sure.
This is something I thought about the other day when I was straining one out. If a bloke on one side of the globe and somebody on the direct opposite side of the globe drops a piece of bread at exactly the same time, for a brief moment, the world becomes a sandwich. I'll leave that with you. Good night.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm going out. See you later.
Am I gonna see some action, baby? Am I gonna see some action?